Welcome to the New Reality Show, where you can call in live for laser coaching and engage in Q&A with Drs. Art Emmerich and Christina Winzi. Discover how to master the power of your mind, body, and spiritual energies. Get empowered to create your new reality for more happiness, well-being, and success. Well, hello out there in radio and TV land.
Yes, hello. Glad you're with us tonight. We got a great show.
Yes, I'm Dr. Christina Winzi and my co-host,
Dr. Art Emmerich.
And we are doing the New Reality Show because we want to help people create a new reality for themselves. What we mean by that is that there are a lot of people out there with stress, with PTSD, with confidence issues, with all kinds of challenges, especially the last 2 years, I want to say. But it's always, we live in a pretty stressful lifestyle in at least in the United States, I think. And we started this show so that we could be of help to people. Between the two of us, I think we've been in practice for close to 100 years, Dr. Art.
Yes, we have. It seems like I remember every single day of that, too.
Well, that's pretty good.
not really.
But the challenge with being in practice with one-on-one patients and clients is that we can only handle one person at a time. And we wanted to get solutions out to many more people and bring our sage wisdom to the rest of the world, right?
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. After you've been through the mill for a decade and then two and then three, then you start having opinions about things, you know, about what works, what doesn't work, what's useful, what's not very useful. And so we want to bring you the best of the best here that we've been able to find.
Exactly. And we have a lot of tips and tools and free stuff that we give you. So tonight we're talking about insomnia. And this is a very serious, actually a serious condition that can be treated with hypnosis, with meditation. There are a variety of techniques. We're going to talk about some of those, but what is insomnia? You know, some people aren't really sure. They think, well, if you can't sleep at all, and that's not true. There are other aspects to insomnia. Yeah. What causes it and how does it affect you? Why is it a bad thing? Why does it need to be solved? And then what can we do about it? And that's where I say we're going to give some simple tips. Yeah. What I do want to say is this is a call-in show. It is a talk show, but it is a call-in show. We want to hear from you if you want to call in. If you have a question, if you need help, if you want laser coaching, or if you just want to make a point or add to what we're talking about, you're welcome to call in. So the numbers to call in are direct in the United States. You can call toll free, and that's 888-627-6008. And if you're calling from outside the US, you want to dial 1-323-744-4831. And thank you, Thomas, for putting it on the screen. The other thing I did want to say is thank you so much to our subscribers. You know, they are helping us to stay on the air. And there is a way to subscribe. So if you are getting benefit from the show tonight and you want to continue listening to us and you want to help us stay on the air, you can subscribe for as little as $2.99. And Thomas is showing you our show page and where you can click to become a subscriber. But we are so grateful to the subscribers that we have. So with that, Dr. Art, I'm going to turn it over to you for your weekly tip. I always look forward to your weekly tip.
Okay, well, hold on to your seat here. This is going to be a fun one, I hope. it's called emotional clearing. One of the things that I learned over these many years that I had no idea about is that we were not designed to store emotions. We were designed to have them. Obviously, feelings are the spice of life. If we didn't have them, we'd all be robots and we'd go around with a lot of facts and stuff. So we need these, but what we have a tendency to do is to store these. Many of them come from the past. Many of those emotions are negative. They're hurt and regret and anger and all kind of bad stuff that we have that's connected to an event. Or they can come from the future where we go up and we're going to plan something and we think, oh my gosh, what if it doesn't work? I'll be the laughing stock or people will hate me. What, I wasted all this money and we have all this negative emotion. And the problem is we bring it back to the present and that's when it really messes everything up. Mm-hmm. So here's the solution. If you would, just close your eyes and imagine that you are a giant boulder in the middle of a very turbulent stream. The stream is your thoughts and emotions that are coming at you a mile a minute all the time. That never stops. Now, one of the things that we have a tendency to do, particularly if we have something that we want to hang on to, we'll go downstream and we'll dam up the stream and we'll trap everything that came down until it spills over the top of the dam. And that creates a stagnant cesspool of where all these new emotions are flooding into and they get contaminated with all the stuff that's already there. We don't experience a clean, pure emotion anymore. So what I want you to do is, and I'm sure you have dammed up your stream. We all do it for some reason. We're just, that seems to be the right thing to do, and it's not. So imagine yourself going downstream, removing the dam, limb by limb, rock by rock, or whatever you built it, mud by mud, you know, and clear it out so that this stream flows vigorously on down. And you are this giant boulder. So you're sitting in the stream and you can feel these emotions. They come down and they bang into you, but you're the rock. And so they go around one side or the other and then they go on downstream and disappear downstream. That is exactly the way it's supposed to work. You feel it, you know it, you have the emotion and then you let it go. It's not designed to be kept and stored anywhere. It's like fur balls in a cat if you store it. Just, our systems are not designed to deal with that. So let them go. And you will be amazed if you do this every day, because you're gonna store stuff every day. Even if you remove the dam, you're going to build another dam in your sleep or sometime when you don't even realize it. So you got to go back and keep unblocking the flow and let those emotions go. It's a great practice for mindful meditation, where you just sit on the boulder and you are an observer. You watch all these things coming down. Oh, there's me feeling this way. There's me thinking this thought. There's me wondering about this. There's me planning for this other. And you just comment, but you do not get connected with it. You experience it, you let it go.
I love that, Dr. Art. I love that. That is really powerful. And using visualizations is really helpful. You know, just the idea of a stream flowing and hitting the rock and realizing, you know, all day long, we're doing things and interacting with people and stuff happens and it triggers our emotions. And if we don't let them go, we build up stress, which is one of the causes of insomnia that we're going to talk about. So,
this can be a wonderful practice to help with insomnia is that you, these emotions, if they're messing up the present moment, that means you need to get rid of them.
Yeah.
Leave them in the past or leave them in the present where they belong. If you want them, you can always go there and get them, but don't bring them back here with you because they don't belong here.
Yeah, excellent. Well, I want to start with what insomnia is, because I think that people don't necessarily understand that there are different ways that insomnia shows itself. Mm-hmm. You know, most people think it's that you just can't get to sleep and you can't, you stay up all night. But there are several aspects to it. It can be that you're waking up frequently during the night, for instance. It's certainly finding it hard to get to sleep is one of the signs. And if you can't sleep for hours, then you're missing out on valuable hours. So that would be considered insomnia. If you wake up early and you just can't get back to sleep, that is also a sign of insomnia. So some people wake up at 2-3 in the morning and they're just, no matter what they do, they can't get back to sleep. And you may feel very logy and tired when you wake up. So you've had a pretty rough night, or you just haven't had a sound sleep is one of the signs of insomnia. You feel worn out, irritable, have trouble concentrating during the day, or you find it difficult to nap in the daytime. I have no problem with napping. Napping, I love napping. But I actually do have, I have had nights when I wake up at 2 or 3. And my trick for getting back to sleep, believe it or not, is to put on someone talking about a topic that's very peaceful, you know, whether it's a meditation or whether it's an interview, and just I close my eyes and listen to the interview, and then before I know it, I'm back asleep. But yeah, insomnia has many different ways of showing up.
I found a little bit humorous, but an interesting way to get back to sleep is get a set of Chinese language instruction tapes or CDs, and you just start the CD going, and either of two things will happen. You'll either learn Chinese or you'll fall asleep. And I'm betting that you'll probably fall asleep.
Yeah, nothing like a tough language to make you go to sleep.
Chinese is ideal. It's really, really helpful.
Okay, well, then I'm glad I have the yin yang sign behind me.
Right. You're ready. You're ready for it.
I'm ready. Well, so anyway, you know, there are many examples of how insomnia can set in and what it looks like. So, Dr. Art, what happens when you don't get enough sleep?
Well, number of bad things that start. You get moody, mood swings, get frustrated very easily, quick to anger. Difficulty solving problems because it's hard to focus a lot of times, and sometimes physically clumsy, and you have accidents, you drop things a lot, hard to control emotions. If you miss one night, you become irritable and clumsy. Two nights, trouble carrying out just normal everyday tasks. After five nights without sleep, you start hallucinating. And taken to the extreme, without enough sleep, you'd probably die. To be kind of scary about this, sleep deprivation is one of the things that is used for brainwashing somebody. Mm. You don't let them sleep. Now, we need this, what's called REM sleep, R-E-M, rapid eye movement. That is when we are getting an enormous amount of recalibration, healing, our body is building back some of the things that were damaged or destroyed during the day. So it's just any number of things. It just doesn't give you rest, although that's a part of it. But when you're sleeping, your body and your mind are doing some really amazing things, and that's part of this deep healing and restoring your equilibrium for the next day.
Well, you know, I have a theory that our brains handle so many details all day long, from the movement of every single muscle, everything we talk about, every interaction, every task we do, our brains are handling everything every day. And I think it's only fair to give it a good rest. So it can, it's almost like your brain needs to file things away and make sense of things at night. You know, there's so much that happens each day and your brain just has to have that rest so that it can reintegrate you. The other thing I wanted to point out, which is actually when I was doing corporate health coaching, we used to do a presentation. We'd talk about not absenteeism, but people who go to work even when they're devoid of sleep. I mean, we've talked about 17 million from an article that you pulled. It said there are 17 million people that suffer from insomnia. And I would venture to guess it's even more now with the last 2 years we've had of stress.
Right.
And presenteeism in a corporation are people who are at work but should not be. So this is where a construction worker might have an accident with a machine. This is where someone trying to do a presentation or write a report or lead a team meeting is not effective because they really have no business being at work because they're missing so much sleep and it makes them unable to make decisions. They're not sharp. Their productivity is down. So it's a, it's also a business and economic challenge because people hide it.
Yeah, I've heard it referred to as brain fog. It feels like your brain is just in this big fog and you can't focus on anything. You can't concentrate. And so it is very, very much involved with your productivity. It goes
exactly.
way down.
Exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, that's some of what can happen. And quite frankly, one of the things I read that you had sent me was about the fact that you can literally die from lack of sleep.
Right.
Yeah. That's pretty serious.
I guess the hallucinations, it comes first, and that shows you're getting really way over the edge. And then after that, systems just start shutting down. They can't go without that ability to reintegrate and reconstitute themselves. They just get too far out of whack.
I have a note here. Lawrence Prince, a friend of yours, has asked a question. Mm-hmm. Is apnea similar and related to your discussion on insomnia?
Well, my understanding is that sleep apnea is caused by the muscles in the back of the throat. I guess I don't know that much about the physiology, something around the epiglottis. When we go to sleep, it relaxes so much that it closes up the windpipe. Now, normally during the day, if that happened, the diaphragm would be triggered by carbon dioxide buildup, and it would cause us to gasp and breathe again. If you're asleep, however, that's not strong enough. And so what happens to save you is when your brain goes without oxygen for a period of time, it will do whatever it takes to wake you up and get you breathing again. Yeah. And that's when you get these violent people jump and whirl around and gasp and really demonstrate that they are in great need of air. But the problem is, as soon as they get a little bit, the brain calms down, the diaphragm calms down, we fall back asleep, the throat muscles collapse, and we go back into the same cycle. I have an APAP, which is an automatic breathing apparatus. There's a CPAP also. The way that works is it puts a certain amount of air pressure into your nose that keeps the airway open. Even if your throat relaxes, this forces air into your lungs and then allows you to breathe out normally. And it'll keep that going all night long. So it's just a thing that will keep you from suffering from these episodes where your throat shuts off the air supply. And I went to a sleep clinic, hooked up to a lot of machines, and they found out that I needed 9 pounds of air pressure all night long in order to keep my breathing regular. And so it was a wonderful thing. And they have them with a little humidifier on them so you can breathe moist air. And I thought I was doing a wonderful job of sleeping. Of course, I was asleep and didn't know any better. And my wife said, "What in the world is going on with you? You know, you're just lying there and you're so still. And then all of a sudden you don't breathe. And then all of a sudden you start gasping and jerking around and then you settle down and go back to sleep. And then 5 minutes later, boom." Well, they found out that that was happening to me about 10 times an hour. And
wow.
It was really, really serious. So if you have an opportunity to go to a sleep clinic, and now they have these little things you can take home. If you have a neurologist, there's a little belt that goes around your chest and one that goes under your nose, and they can tell whether you need a CPAP machine or not. And that's really well worth doing.
Well, and your question, Lawrence, is it related to the discussion on insomnia? I would say so. If you're not doing something about the apnea, the sleep apnea.
Sleep apnea.
Yeah. But it sounds like you just slept through the night. It was your wife who was having insomnia because you were waking her up.
She was the one, yeah, that I thought I was doing great. And she said, "No, you're really not. You're gasping for breath so many times that it keeps me awake." So
yeah.
I think I hadn't thought about it before, but it seems like one of the distinguishing characteristics is a lot of the insomnia is caused by emotional issues that come up, and this is purely physical. It's just the muscles collapse and won't let air in. So a little bit different source, but can lead to lack of sleep, which is very serious.
Yes, for sure. Not to mention lack of oxygen to the brain and everything else.
Yeah. Hope that answered the question. Okay.
Thanks for your question, Lawrence.
Yes.
And on that note, I want to take a station break. If anybody's new who has tuned in, this is the New Reality Show with Dr. Christina Winzi. That's me and Dr. Art Emmerich. And tonight we're talking about insomnia. What is it? What are the causes of it? What can you do about it? Is the most important part because it affects a lot of people. So if you want to call in, Thomas, if you'd put the numbers on the screen for those who are watching, if you're in the United States, you can dial direct toll free at 888-627-6008. And if you're outside the U.S., dial direct 1-323-744-4831. So we have some more to talk about regarding insomnia. Some of the causes, for instance, you know, I liken this to there's acute stress and there's chronic stress. There's acute insomnia and there's chronic insomnia. So acute insomnia would be that you're in a noisy environment, for instance, and it just you just can't sleep that particular night, or you have jet lag and you're off of your time zone internal clock. Other things are drinking too much coffee close to bed, or even alcohol can cause a disruption in your brain patterns as you sleep. And sleeping in a room that's too hot or too cold can wake you up. And an uncomfortable bed, things of that nature where there's just a temporary situation that's causing you trouble sleeping, and hopefully temporary.
And please let your own mind-body system give you feedback about what works best for you. Because I hear people saying you need to sleep in a room that's no warmer than 70 degrees. That's the ideal temperature to get the best sleep. I have a little space heater in my room and it's set on 75 to 80. And if it goes below that, I wake up cold and I'm shivering. And then so Let your body tell you what the right temperature is. A lot of people would say, well, that's like a steam bath, and I can't breathe, it's so hot. And it just feels like wonderful. So I think I came from a warm planet in my last life or something. So it's bleeding through to this one, but I really need it to be very, very warm in order to be able to relax and sleep.
Dr. Art, you are definitely from another planet.
Maybe my people will come for me. Maybe not. I don't know.
You are unique in all the world, and I love you so much. Yeah. So there are, it's a very smart thing. You know, it's funny. My son lives at home with us, and he's 6'3" and very, very buff. And so his thermometer inside is, he needs it at 73. And then he has the fan on. You know, we're Florida people, so it's 68 is like freezing.
Oh,
but
absolutely.
For me, 73 is cold. I needed it like 75.
Me too.
Yeah. It's really a funny phenomenon. But getting back to insomnia, chronic insomnia is where the problem lies. Where, you know, it's not that your bed is uncomfortable. It's not that you have a noisy environment. It's not a temporary situation. It's where the things that we talked about in the beginning, where you are waking up at night, where you can't get to sleep, the things that cause you to continually have less sleep than you need, because the average adult needs anywhere from 7 to 9 hours. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, for me, I find that 6 to 7 hours works, especially my button. I call it my button. Around 10:30, my button goes off and I have got to get to sleep. Mm-hmm. And so I know that my body just tells me it's like, oh, time to go to bed. Yeah. And sometimes I stretch it to 11, but so chronic stress is caused by things like chronic insomnia is caused by stress, anxiety, and depression. Depression is very associated with insomnia, which you would think is not true, because a lot of depressed people sleep a lot. So I found that interesting, that they were associating depression with insomnia.
And one of the problems I understand is that they, yes, they're sleeping, but they're not resting. And so they may, it's almost like an escape mechanism, but the part of the sleep that's supposed to rebuild and reconstitute doesn't happen. And they wake up and they're very, very tired, and they want to go back to sleep again, because they didn't get the rest that they needed while they were asleep. So it's almost like rest is one thing and sleep is another, and hopefully they go together, but sometimes not.
Yeah, sometimes not is true. And I think, you know, when we think of stress, anxiety, and depression, one of the things that I think of is where people have a racing mind, for instance. Mm-hmm. They can't get to sleep because they're thinking about everything that happened that day. And, oh my God, I should have said this. And, oh my gosh, why didn't I get this done? And then they're thinking about tomorrow and something that they have to, you know, they're making a list in the middle of the night. And so they can't stop thinking. And that is one of the reasons why practicing mindfulness, practicing meditation in a different way, because people who are thinkers, you know, they need, in fact, when I was younger, I was doing meditation. Actually, I lived in an ashram, and my guru at the time said, why don't you do a meditation that is a talking meditation where you're giving yourself a lecture? Choose a word like love or peace and imagine you're giving yourself a lecture on the word and what it means and examples of it. And meditation is really just focusing on something, whether it's actively focusing or it's a candle flame and you're trying to concentrate. But when you're a thinker and you tend to to always have a racing mind, it's very important to try to put that, like you do, Dr. Art, you talk about giving the conscious mind a task so the subconscious can come in and be hypnotized and get the suggestion. So, but you have a list here of 9 non-hypnotic techniques to treat insomnia. Did you want to talk about some of that? Because I think we should talk about solutions.
Sure. I think one of the ones I'd like to start with, I don't think it's actually even on the list, but my wife uses it and is an expert at this. She uses progressive relaxation. And so she'll get in the bed, and she'll sit in bed and then sort of fall back into the pillow. And I think she's asleep before her head ever hits the pillow. And I'm not gifted to be able to do it that fast. But if she doesn't go to sleep with that, she'll start and say, toes relax, arches relax, heels relax, ankles relax, calves relax. And she's much slower than that, but she just very gradually goes up, and she said, I've never gotten past my knees before. I'm asleep before I get to my knees.
Wow.
And but you can use it if it takes longer. Just continue tracking up your body, right up through your brain and the top of your head. You know, you can go the whole thing. So if you're into chakras, you can relax the chakras as you go up from the sacral all the way up, you know, to the top. So progressive relaxation is a very powerful way that many people have used as a not only relaxation, but also to get to sleep. It's really great. I use in my hypnotic patter that I use on a CD that I would make for somebody, I always find out their favorite color. And I have this relaxation appear as a cloud forming below their feet. And the cloud is going to whirl and twirl and swirl around with these blinking photons of whatever their favorite color is. And as it moves up through, and I go through the same pattern of starting with the toes and moving right on up, it is removing anything and everything that no longer belongs in your body. Any stress, any tension, like those kinds of things. But also damaged cells can be exited into the cloud. Any thoughts that you have, any limiting decisions or beliefs that you might have that are holding you back. And it's just a total cleansing from the inside out. In a fabulous way. Most people say, I've never heard what you said after that on the CD, because I am gone by the time you get to the top of my head, which is fine, because in hypnosis, the conscious awareness is totally unnecessary.
Mm-hmm.
It is designed to allow communication directly with the unconscious. So I think that's one of the most powerful ones that I know of.
I agree.
We have a couple of ideas here that you develop a sleep routine. What do you do immediately before going into the bedroom to go to sleep? Eat a little protein snack is usually supposed to be good, a small one.
Mm-hmm.
Drink a little bit of water, go to the bathroom, all these pre-things that one of the things we realize is that our mind-body system loves habit. It loves to be able to get on automatic behavior. Oh, it's bedtime. I know exactly how to go to sleep. You do this, and then you do this, and then you do this. And so if you'll get a routine and use it, your neurology will learn that routine very quickly and allow you to get to sleep a lot faster.
Absolutely. I have... one of my clients who was not getting enough sleep and was tired all the time. And what we made an agreement that she was going to stop all social media at least a half hour, if not an hour, before bed. And she was going to get to bed at a specific time every night. Yeah. And believe it or not, just to stay accountable, I had her text me when she was turning everything off. And I said, you know, my phone's off. It won't bother me because she's in California. So it's a time zone difference. And she was afraid of waking me up. But I said, don't worry about it. Just text it and I'll see it in the morning. And I'll say, yay, you did it. And you know, developing the habit of a sleep routine where your body and your mind start to know, oh yeah, that's right, this is the time before bed. And I think in this current society that we're in, we're so busy with our phones and our computers that it can be a real problem that contributes to people not getting to sleep. In fact, there was a Jerry Seinfeld. He did a monologue show a long time ago at the, I think it was the Broadhurst Theater. And he talks about how, you know, men with their clickers will watch the TV and they'll be falling asleep and clicking, no, I've got to find entertainment, you know, the way Jerry Seinfeld does. And he was making fun, but it's really true. You know, sometimes people are so addicted to being entertained and to watching something, and they know they should go to sleep, but they're just clicking away or surfing the net. And it's really a problem. So part of the sleep routine has to be get off of all electronics and have a good hour before you go to sleep where you're just doing gentle things that get your body ready.
Another one that's been recommended is to make sure you sleep in a dark room. If there's a lot of light or even any light for some people, it's distracting. Even though your eyes are closed, you know that if I open my eyes, I would be able to look around and see things, and that's not good. So if you need to, wear a sleep mask. If there's no way to get rid of the light in the room where you're sleeping, then just put on one of these masks. They're black inside. They have a little elastic band that goes around, and they will make it really dark in the room where you are.
Mm-hmm.
Another one that I think is interesting is get in the bed to go to sleep, not to read, not to watch TV, maybe for sex, that would be okay. But the primary thing you do when you get in the bed is you go to sleep. And that's another thing that if your mind-body system gets used to that, every time I get in this bed, it's so that I can go to sleep, then it will very willingly participate in that habit. But if you're reading one night and you're watching TV another night, or you're talking on the phone with somebody another night or whatever, there's no routine pattern to that. And so your system never really learns, what do you want me to do here? You want me to go to sleep or stay awake? It gets confused. And so that idea of repetition of a practice that you use where you get in the bed, it's sleep time, and that's what your body is expecting, that's what it's used to.
The other thing is to not drink alcohol near bedtime, even though alcohol is a depressant. In other words, it will subdue you. The kind of sleep it induces is not a restful sleep. And so if you can avoid drinking alcohol, at least, you know, I don't know how some get out of the blood quicker than others, but I think, you know, probably a good rule of thumb would be 3 hours away from bedtime to have your last drink. And, sleeping in a dark room is very important. But the other thing that I want to say, because of my work with people who are addicted to food, particularly sugar, is that sugar is a stimulant. Yeah. So if you're eating heavy, rich sugary foods and high carbohydrate diet, it actually will wake you up at night. Mm-hmm. It's when you overload on carbs, you know, and I know athletes used to do carb loading. They probably still do. But when you do carb loading, you're giving so much energy to the cells and you're doing so much insulin as well. And you're just kind of shocking the body. And if you're doing that all the time with sugary foods and binging, or just, you know, having very late meals with lots of carbohydrate, a big pasta meal, a pizza meal, it's going to interfere with good sleep. And in general, you know, really good nutrition is the rule of thumb just to have a healthy body, let alone have a good sleep. But your body is trying to deal with all of the things that you've done with it and to it all day long. And the nighttime is supposed to be a time when it can just kind of readjust. But if it has so many things to readjust, you know, getting your pH back down to what it needs to be if it's high, or up to where it needs to be if it's low, and all of the things that bring you back into balance, which is called homeostasis. And if your body is so super busy with all of these things, on top of maybe you're stressed, on top of anxiety or depression or one of those things that we talked about, you're just making it really hard for yourself to stay asleep or to have a good sleep.
A gratitude practice is really nice too. And that combines really beautifully with the progressive relaxation. But you don't have to use it that way. It's just to set aside this time as you're settling down to go to sleep to thank your mind-body system for all the things that it did for you and at this particular day. Mm-hmm. And it can be very simple. I really like the way you breathed for me. I didn't have to think about it. And you just breathed me all day long automatically, and it worked beautifully. Yeah, you beat my heart at the right amount to get blood flowing to the muscles and the cells. It can thank your pancreas, your liver, your kidneys, or you know, any part of your body. Thank your nose, your ears, your eyes, and it's just a wonderful way. And if you are not aware of it, your mind-body system really loves to hear those things, and it makes it work more efficiently and better for you. Because, well, I'll have to tell you, I had a little talk with a doctor, told me my kidneys were acting up. And so I had a little talk and said I wanted to communicate with them. And they said, well, before you start, we'd like to know, why is it that we worked beautifully for 75 years and you never said a damn word, and we screw up one time and now we got to have this little talk, you know? And I realized I never appreciated all these things that were going on without any involvement consciously on my part, but were absolutely essential for me to live. And so having that gratitude blanket around you and naming the things that you're thankful for in your mind, body, system, a very wonderful, very powerful way to relax and go to sleep.
I love that, Dr. Art. And it's so true. You know, our cells are really listening to us. And when you're not appreciating your body, so many women, and women that I work with in my coaching practice have body dysmorphia, where they can't see what they really look like, even if they lose the weight, or they just say they hate their thighs, or they hate their belly, or, you know, they have a problem with their nose, and it's always this self-hate kind of thing. And it's not just women. I think it is men as well, but it's more women than it is men. And when you turn it around and you start appreciating your body, you know, I want to bring up Masaru Emoto, Japanese researcher who studied water. He's no longer with us in the physical. And if you look him up, he, I think it's called Messages from Water is his book. And he studied water crystals that had been, shall we say, energetically infused with love or with peace or with, you know, various positive thoughts. And the crystals were so exquisite. And if you look up his book, you will love looking at that. And then he did, he took some water from a sewer and yelled, "I hate you," at it. And it was all crazy messy. And, you know, I don't know whether the crystals were from sewer water. I guess he used a control. I guess he did it scientifically. I don't have all that information. But the point of this is you are the majority water. So if you're not loving your body, then you are screwing up your water crystals.
Which is most of us,
yes.
Which is almost all of what we are. Yeah, that Emoto's work is just amazing. And I don't think he got the real good scientific recognition for his work because it's so far afield from what we know in the Newtonian universe, not the quantum one where energy is, everything's energy and you can send a bad note of energy and it will mess up a beautiful chord that might be trying to express itself. So
exactly.
This idea of hating something and then asking it to please improve or please be other than the way you are, you know, it's not likely to happen.
Right.
So my weight loss clients, of whom I don't have many because I require that they stand in front of a mirror nude twice a day and go all four front, side, back saying, "I love you just the way you are." And not just mouthing the words, but saying it and really meaning it down to the cellular level. And I say, once you can do that, then we're ready to start. But until you can do that, I'm not going to fight your body. If you're hating it, and then I'm going to try to come along and get it to do something for you, not going to work, you know.
Yeah.
You're in charge, and you can undermine everything you want by hating.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not going to be compatible.
So. Yeah. No, I think self-love is one of the most difficult things, but it shouldn't be. I think that we take on so many negatives, so many negative messages, and we internalize a lot of things that happen out there is what it means about me. And the interpretation really needs to be, oh, this happened. It has nothing to do with me, kind of thing. But
and the comparisons are just deadly when you compare yourself to somebody else. So if you have to compare, you're compelled to compare. Compare to yourself yesterday. You know, are you better today than you were yesterday or not? And if you're not better, what can you do tomorrow to make yourself better? And just keep that kind of comparison going. Rather than comparing yourself to some of these Photoshop models and things that you see on TV, which are not real anyway. And so you can do it. I have a couple of other ideas that you can do. Take a hot bath or a hot shower right before bedtime. That can really relax you a lot.
Yes. Yes.
It's been used by lots of people to, get the muscles to let go of some of the tension that they've been carrying around and relax and loosen up.
Well, it's not just the hot water, but when you're scrubbing your body, hopefully, you're stimulating the skin and the meridians and moving the blood. So, you know, if you're really doing a good job, you're exfoliating the skin and you're massaging. So the hot water and the massage of your body is very relaxing.
I have a thing about wash rags. These real soft wash rags that hardly will absorb water at all. I don't use them anymore. I go to the automotive store and buy a big package of rags used to clean cars, and they're cotton, but boy, they're almost like sandpaper, you know. Huh. They're really rough scrubbers, you know, and that's what I use for my wash rag, because
that
ultra soft stuff, I feel like that's not doing the exfoliation that I think I need.
Yeah.
And not getting me as clean as I'd like to be. So
mm-hmm.
Another one is wear a pair of socks to sleep in. Sometimes cold feet will keep you awake. And if you put on a pair of socks, it keeps things from rubbing on your feet. That also can be irritating or stimulating, you know, to keep you from dropping off. And then also the extra warmth on your feet is supposed to be a good way to help your body adjust to the fact that your body temperature is going to go down mm-hmm. when you go to sleep. But as long as your feet are staying warm, then they won't get cold enough to wake you up. So that's another thing.
That is excellent. And I also want to interject here that all of these things are great. And the most important thing really is to be handling the stress in your life, to learn to manage and reduce it, to get some help on the anxiety. So the three things were stress, anxiety, and depression. And if you're not solving those things, which are the underlying cause of chronic insomnia, then, you know, we don't want to do Band-Aids, although all of these things are excellent. And I wanted to add 15 minutes of brisk walking or any kind of exercise mm-hmm. is very helpful. But I'd love to invite people to go back and see our show about stress. We haven't done a show on anxiety, and we might want to do that. And we haven't had a show on depression. But you know, there are places to get help for those things. And I think the key here is just acknowledging that maybe there's some challenges you're having, and what can you do to solve those challenges? Because if it's disturbing your sleep, then that's just adding to the stress, to the anxiety, to the depression. So it becomes...
In our effort to bring you practical applications that you can use, you hear a little bit of theory from us, and you know, so you'll understand where we're coming from. But our intention is to work that down into, so if you're experiencing this, then you could do that and that and that to mm-hmm. change it, and so to make it better.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd like to end with my contribution. The most unusual sleep suggestion that I've ever heard is fall asleep with your eyes open.
Wow.
Do not even close your eyes. And believe me, if you try to keep your eyes open long enough, you will go to sleep because your system just doesn't want to have that visual stimulation anymore. And it will just close your eyes and send you right off.
Wow.
One of the things that happens when we go to sleep, our body does release a chemical, which is a paralytic agent. So that sometimes when you wake up and you feel so like you don't even know whether you can move or not, it's because that chemical, which dissipates quickly once your body quits making it, but it's designed to keep you, if you're having a dream that you're running, it keeps you from getting out of bed and actually running. It has you be peaceful physically, where your mind can imagine that you're doing any number of physical things, but you don't actually do it. And if there's not enough of that, I had an experience in college. I went out for the swim team, and I was on the top bunk, and I dreamed that I was swimming, and I was lying on my back, and I threw my arm up and hit the end of the bed, and I thought that was the edge of the pool, and I just swung my arm over to turn flip over and kick off from the side of the pool, and I threw myself right out of the bed onto the floor off the top bunk.
Oh.
So I wasn't making enough of that chemical. But what it's for is to keep that kind of thing from happening so that you are physically docile while you mentally may be very active.
I love that. Thank you. Yeah. That's important information. And I think we have a kind of a segue into sleepwalking and talking about that at some point, because
absolutely.
That's,
yeah.
But we are done. Oh my gosh, the time has flown, Dr. Art. But
it always does.
It always does. And thank you so much, Lawrence, for your question. And we have had a wonderful time tonight. We hope you found it valuable. If you would like to subscribe and be a supporter of our show, you can go to our show page. And if you scroll down a little bit, you'll see a little the words click here, and Thomas is putting it on the screen. And we appreciate our subscribers so much. So I just want to say thank you very much for helping us stay on the air. And it's been another wonderful show, and we will have a great topic for you next week.
Looking forward to it. Thanks a lot, Dr. Chris.
Thank you, Dr. Art. And that's our show for tonight. So thank you for tuning in. Thanks for joining us. If you've enjoyed this show, please consider being a supporter. You can find that on our show page. Tune in every Friday night at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, and find us on Facebook at facebook.com/newrealityshow for announcements of upcoming topics and exciting guest interviews. Bye for now.